AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat, and boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live on Sports Grid, it's Game Time Decisions. I'm Kevin Walsh with you on a Friday night. 2 hours to get you set for tonight's slate, as well as this weekend's the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. Two on Saturday, two on Sunday. The NBA card is exciting, including a huge game between the favorites in the East and the West, Celtics, Nuggets. College basketball, only one ranked game tonight. It is the Wisconsin Badgers, a big favorite against the Indiana Hoosiers. One thing to keep your eyes on with that game, again, it's a big spread, but Wisconsin does need to make sure they avoid upset. Already dropped the game this week in Big Ten play at Penn State. It is forgivable relative to the rest of the college basketball landscape, but a second loss here would be very damaging. Before we open it up, let's just talk about some breaking news in the National Football League. That feels like it should have broke a while ago, but it breaks today that Antonio Pierce is set to become the head coach of the Vegas Raiders. And for me, this is the right move. If anything, it was the obvious move for Vegas to make. The decision to go from Bisaccia to Josh McDaniels is not one that I actually had issues with. Bisaccia filled in admirably, but I thought that this team trying to go for a big swing higher was fine. Was McDaniels the right guy? Obviously, no, but I didn't mind their thought process. But it is not a thought process that I thought they could follow again, especially the way the players have gravitated towards Antonio Pierce in Las Vegas. Is this going to work out long term? Admittedly, I'm cautious on that. This team has to figure out quarterback. Jimmy Garoppolo, obviously not the answer, nor Aiden O'Connell, Brian Hoyer. None of that is the case. But Vegas was said to have a mutiny on their hands, including their superstar Max Crosby asking out if Pierce was not made the head coach. All in all, for Vegas, you give Antonio Pierce a chance. I have no issue with that. We'll bring our radio audience into the fold. Appreciate all those who are here on the Sports Grid Network, including SiriusXM Channel 159. Kevin Walsh with you here on Game Time Decisions. But we'll go from this to the open and with a couple of really fun items to get into tonight, including this NBA slate. Seven games for us to break down. We have some meh games. Charlotte, San Antonio doesn't feature Victor Wembanyama, but I actually think there's a fun angle in that game. Atlanta without Trae Young. It's a DeJounte Murray step-up spot before he seemingly is inevitably traded to a top contender. We heard Milwaukee today. The latest at the top of the NBA who could be interested in his services. Brooklyn makes the trip to the Lakers, who are secretly playing some of the worst basketball in the NBA right now. The Brooklyn Nets, they desperately miss Ben Simmons in an unfortunate set of circumstances due to that Brooklyn win total that I did play preseason. Philly goes to Orlando, laying a number, light number tonight in New Orleans with the Suns' big three in action. The Pacers with a noteworthy game tonight, not only getting Tyrese Haliburton back, but the debut of their newly acquired all-star in Pascal Siakam, leading this to a very big line tonight. in Portland. We will talk about that game a little bit. It was almost on card, but some of this information needed to be finalized, and now that it is, we will get into it. But let's talk more about what some people believe is an NBA Finals preview, Boston and Denver. A 7-point line tonight in favor of the Celtics, total 234. As I was getting set through this game, I wanted to see what we've seen out of Denver this season against the best defenses in basketball. Boston, a top three defense in the association. This is going to be the 13th game this year for the Denver Nuggets against the top seven defenses in the NBA. That is a large enough sample size, especially this early in. In those first 12 games, Denver, an horrific 2-10 straight up. In those games, 1-11 against the spread. By the way, Denver favored in all but one of those games that they lost. All but one. Philadelphia, and Sixers won the second leg of a back-to-back, and were only laying about 1.5 at home. So this spot here tonight, at first glance, that's a lot for Boston to be laying. I get it. It's not that all these games have gone under. It's not that Denver's hardly been able to hit their team totals in all of them, but plenty of them. But this is just a spot we have not seen the Nuggets step up, including one of their best players. We will talk about that. But when you look at the outright markets for these teams, the futures market here, plus 185 in the conference for Denver, plus 125 in the conference for Boston. That gap nowhere near as big as a 7-win difference in their updated win totals here. It shows that Boston is going to still be challenged by Milwaukee and somewhat Philly in that market. Denver, despite not having a rock star start to their season, people not believing enough in the rest of the West. Warriors are a disaster. Lakers are going to have to go through an overhaul. Phoenix is starting to get a lot of respect, I think, in their game-to-game booking. Right, that really short line in New Orleans we mentioned. But what is that going to look like as we get more out of that big three sample size? The Clippers, if you go to the NBA title odds, are the second shortest Western Conference team at plus 950. But as I've talked about this week, last week, the Clippers continue to come with the caveat of if they stay healthy, Denver and Boston are the top two choices to win the NBA championship. Boston, though, the only team under 4-1, actually now, again, under 3-1 at plus 290. We'll open this back out. Take a look at the NFL's playoff bracket here. 1-7 in the NFC on a Saturday night. In the Saturday afternoon slate, it is 1-4. Both number one seeds, though, laying 9.5 points in their opening games here. The totals, though, way different. In the 50s for San Francisco and Green Bay, that opening game of the division round, Baltimore-Houston, our lowest total this weekend, 43.5. On Sunday, Detroit lays 6.5 to Tampa Bay, and then now a 2.5-point line for Buffalo and Kansas City. Earlier in the week, we saw some threes, but those have since evaporated. You go to the conference markets here this season, or for where things sit with this much time left in the season, strong number on the Niners, rightfully so. They will be better than minus 200, I believe, on their money line against Detroit or against Tampa Bay if they're able to get through the Green Bay Packers. And then you look over here in the AFC side of it. Baltimore's going to be a favorite over, obviously, Buffalo or Kansas City, but I do think varying degrees, and I think that's why this gap still sits here between Buffalo and KC. I think the Ravens would lay a full field goal to the Chiefs. I think it's under a field goal, though, to the Buffalo Bills. We'll continue to shift through this there. I think we have the Super Bowl odds for everybody just to get a sense, and I think you could see. Look, this is tier one, or the Niners are tier one, the Ravens are tier two, the Bills are tier three, and then we get to Chiefs-Lions as a tier four. And then that would be tier five. I think you could make a couple of arguments for how this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Really lines up right now in the outright Super Bowl odds. Where is the value? Again, for me, I've kind of been positioned. I'm not jumping in. Nothing really catching my eye. Let's get a quick pick on the board. We'll explain it a little bit more, but I did allude to it. Jamal Murray, under 29.5 points plus assists in 8 games for him this season against top 7 defenses, 8-0 to the under. We'll go through the full card next year on Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on Sports Grid, Game Time Decisions. Kevin Walsh with you here on a Friday night. Like College Board, as I said, I know Coach is going to get involved with some of the MAC action, so we will hit that. The ice is light tonight as well. Panthers, Wild, Hurricanes, Red Wings, Blue Jackets, Devils, and then the late game, 8:30, the puck will drop in Chicago. Blackhawks, big home dog against the New York Islanders, so keep your eyes on that. The big game tonight, though, in Boston, Celtics, Nuggets, and I want to get the most up-to-date lines here because this is a climbing number. Some 6.5s I know were played by people earlier in the day on Boston, but we've seen some 7.5s appear. It is currently now sitting 7 nearly everywhere on Boston total between 234, 233 as well right now here. There's 1-233, some 233s and a half, 234. So again, kind of bouncing in that range. I saw this number and had a similar reaction that I would imagine a lot of people had, which is that's a lot of points to lay against the Denver Nuggets. And again, in the end, it may up being a lot of points to lay against Denver. There's a lot of the spread bets are all on Denver, right? They are a public dog, if you will. But that number is not without reason. The Denver Nuggets this season have played 12 games against top 7 defenses. Those teams are Minnesota, Orlando, this is their first game against Boston, Cleveland, Philadelphia, Houston, and Oklahoma City. Now, they've played Minnesota, Cleveland, and Philadelphia just once, lost all those games. The Orlando Magic twice, lost both. 4 games against the Rockets, 1-3. They are 1-3 against the Rockets and 3 games against the Thunder. They are 1-2. So the only 2 wins they've had are teams that they've played 3 different times this season. But they are, so that also means they, by the way, are 0-5 against top 5 defenses in basketball, which Boston is. But I added in the Houston and OKC because just because you add 2 wins, it does not make it look any better. And one of those wins against the Rockets was not a cover. So they are 1-11 against the spread this year against top 7 defenses, booked as a favorite in 11 of 12 of these games. It is horrific what Denver has done against the best defenses in basketball. And one of those reasons could be Jamal Murray. I'm on Jamal's under tonight, 29.5 points plus assists. The only worry for me on this prop is that he just went under it against the 76ers. So it's you're now lining up for consecutive unders, but he's averaging 16.5 points per game in 8 games against top 7 defenses, which for Jamal Murray is absolutely unacceptable. Now, it is 7.3 assists. His assist prop tonight, 7.5 at plus money. But I add both because we've seen 2 20-plus point performances from Jamal where he maybe could clear a points prop. We have not seen him, though, have 2 great games in this category simultaneously this season. So give me under on the 29.5 points plus assist prop tonight for Jamal Murray at 29.5. My favorite bet on tonight's NBA board, is actually in this Hornets-Spurs game, believe it or not. This 4.5-point spread here for Charlotte, when I saw it at first glance, I thought, ooh, perhaps the Spurs could be intriguing. I know these teams just played. The Spurs beat them down. Victor Wembanyama was excellent in the basketball game. No Wemby tonight. No Wemby in this line, only 4.5. I thought that was suspicious. I think Charlotte is probably not getting enough respect. When Charlotte went to San Antonio, that was a 2.5-point spread in a game that Wemby played. So to see 4.5 flipping it back to Charlotte, I didn't think that was too far gone. I don't think Wemby's factored in enough. But going through the five times this team has played without Victor Wembanyama, they've only covered the first half once so far. And a lot of times they've been getting routed. If you look, the Bulls had them down 8. Portland was up 15 at half, laying 4.5. Very similar spot. Mavs were up 6. Bucks were up 13 at half. They didn't cover the full game, but were up 13 at half, which was covering. And the Pels, the only non-cover, did still lead at half by 2. They were laying about 11.5 in the game. So they weren't covering a first half line that was probably 5.5, 6 probably, maybe even 6.5. But again, we're still up by this margin. LaMelo Ball back in this lineup. LaMelo Ball playing his first home game since returning. And LaMelo's last two home games were victories. One against Washington, one against Boston in overtime. So I don't think, again, this is nowhere near enough respect for me for what we're seeing here tonight. LaMelo in the lineup. No Victor Wembanyama. Give me the Hornets laying 2 points in the first half. Give me DeJounte Murray over 8.5 assists. This could have been a best bet. I hesitated only because it was expensive at -130. The number has climbed quite substantially since. Let me see if I can find the lowest number tonight here, juice-wise, on this DeJounte Murray prop. It looks like -152. There are some 7.5s. You could play 7.5s. So this season, DeJounte's played 2 games without Trae Young. He's had 10 assists and 9 assists. The rebounds haven't changed much. He had one really good scoring game against Detroit. Another not so much. He only scored 20 points in the matchup. I think maybe get better against Brooklyn. Don't admittedly remember right off the top of my head. But if you go back to last season, which brings in a 7 additional game sample size, DeJounte Murray has had 7-plus assists in 8 out of 9 games without Trae Young as a member of the Atlanta Hawks. Averages 8.6. So this number being 7.5 at -120 wouldn't have even been that much of a mistake, considering what we've seen DeJounte Murray do in the absence of Trae Young as a member of the Atlanta Hawks. So again, if you want to play the 7.5 at plus, you can play it. If you don't mind laying juice, you should be able to get over 6.5. Trae this year, 2 games against Miami, 11 assists and 13 assists. I think you're getting some value on a double-double for DeJounte Murray. Did see a +425 available out there. Something to keep your eyes on. I think that number could be worthwhile. So, again, keep your tabs on that number there. Let's also continue to go through tonight's NBA slate because we've got a Bradley Beal prop that I think is worth it. Over 1.5 made threes. Beal's last 3 games, 8 for 10, 4 for 6, and then last time out, 0 for 4. The New Orleans Pelicans allow the most 3-point attempts in basketball at 39.2. Now, Phoenix does not take an incredibly high volume, only 31.7 on the season. But could we meet in the middle on those numbers there potentially? Get 34, 35 attempts tonight there. And if those extra attempts come to Bradley Beal, that would be perfect. I'll take my chances on 4 attempts. But if I can get 6+, which he had did in 2 games prior to last, 4-1 on the season when he takes at least 6 threes going over 1.5 made. So I like Bradley Beal tonight over the 1.5 made threes. And then I mentioned this Blazers game tonight against the Pacers. So the line right now is up to 8.5. There are a lot of moving pieces with this game. Haliburton in, Pascal debut. The more surprising information might have been the downgrade to questionable on Anthony Simons, which would be important. Anthony Simons was brilliant in the fourth quarter against the Brooklyn Nets and hit a basically buzzer-beating shot to win that game. So this line earlier in the day, I saw 5.5 on Indiana, but I'm actually interested in backing the Blazers on this number. If you take a look here, and this line opened up much, much shorter when they didn't think that there was going to be kind of all this full force here tonight for the Pacers. The Pacers are 1-6 against the spread without rest this season. 1-6. The caveat is Pascal didn't play last night, nor did Tyrese Haliburton. They were playing Sacramento. So how applicable still would that be? But Halliburton's obviously playing his first game since early January, and Pascal's playing in a new situation. I am going to be letting this number settle. This is a game that's tipping late night at 10 o'clock. What is the Simons news due to this number? All of that matters for me, but the early look for me would actually be getting Portland plus all of these points here tonight. But we'll see how that injury report continues to look. Mark Zinos up next here on Game Time Decisions. We'll see if he has any NBA action or maybe college basketball, and then also put the eye on the divisional round next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live on Sports Grid with you here. It is a Friday night. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Mark Zeno. Mark, last time I spoke to you, I believe, was last Friday, and I on a whim was curious if you were on the NBA, and you said it was a very ugly night of NBA action. I'm curious, are you running back an NBA card that is going to be able to resemble as ugly as last week's?
Yeah, actually, I am. So on Game Time Decisions on Wednesday night with Joe Ranieri, I gave out an ugly play, a hold-your-nose stinker, don't watch it, just check the score in the morning, as I backed the Portland Trailblazers getting 7 points against the Brooklyn Nets, and they won outright. I am going equally as ugly tonight, if you could believe it, and I'm backing the Brooklyn Nets tonight against the L.A. Lakers, who are now getting 7 points. Like, the Nets have been god-awful as of late, Kevin. Brooklyn is 3-14 straight up, 2-14-1 against the number in their last 17 games. They are getting just outplayed on both ends of the floor. The Lakers have covered back-to-back home games but failed to cover six of their last seven before then. This just feels, though, like too many points. The Lakers have only been more than a six-point favorite, or at least seven-point favorite and above, just three times this year. And that they've all been at home. So what does that tell you about the number that they're laying tonight? I know the Nets have been playing bad, but are the Lakers that much better? Are they 7 points better than any teams other than, like, you know, let's say Washington, the San Antonio, Detroit? The Nets aren't that bad. They can be competitive in this spot here. And if you really can't get to the Nets, the under also feels like the correlated play.
Yeah, I think what really stands out to me, you talk about what the number was in Portland, right? It's, are the Lakers, that would suggest they're what, Mark? 14 points better than the Blazers? The Lakers aren't 14 points better than anybody. Which, no. So, it, and again, I have no issue with the play. It does suggest, though, that that loss to Portland, the books were like, okay, we actually don't realize how awful the Nets are. And the Nets are playing horrendous basketball. Right. Now, I'm not laying, I would never lay 7.5 with the Lakers, but
that's why I say the under is maybe a more comfortable correlated total here, as the Lakers' defense is 11th in defensive efficiency. So you could go that route. They won't have to score that much to beat the Nets. But again, the under also typically correlates to the dogs. So I look at this game, and I'm with you. Like, I would never lay 7 with the Lakers. And I think odds makers are finally starting to catch on and say, damn, Brooklyn is really bad. Like, they're giving up 120 points per 100 possessions. They just, they are not playing a good brand of basketball right now. We saw that with Portland, and now I think there might be too much of an overreaction in the other direction.
Let me just ask you quickly, Mark. Obviously, I know when it comes to you following the SEC, it's not just college football, it's college basketball as well. We'll get to the divisional round in a moment. But I've quite enjoyed watching the SEC this season, currently in conference, two unbeaten teams, Auburn and Alabama. And Alabama had all these big struggles out of conference. So far right now, with I think it's four teams ranked by the AP Top 25, who in the SEC has really been earning your respect early season?
You know, there's a bunch of different teams out there. I mean, obviously, still, I think you have to look at Kentucky and Florida as legit contenders. Tennessee, obviously, with their defense. But we're going to find out how good Alabama really is tomorrow when they have to go to Tennessee and play a game against the Volunteers, where, you know, the Alabama that we saw last year, not the same Alabama team this year. But again, if they can go into Rocky Top and make this thing competitive here, we know that they can score. Can they defend enough against Tennessee? Real styles make fights kind of game. I still think Alabama is a team to contend with. Auburn, obviously, at the top. Ole Miss may be coming back down to earth here, Kevin, after their loss to LSU. Their numbers weren't sustainable. They can shoot the hell out of the basketball, though. But they can continue that all season long. Guess what? They could make some noise. And I'll give one more quick nod to Georgia's been a little bit surprising. I don't think they're going to hang on as we get deeper into conference play. They may end up just being a 10-8 kind of team in conference play when it's all said and done, as opposed to a 12-6 kind of team that really, is higher in the pack. But they've played really good this year. You can't knock the dogs for what they've done.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the weekend, and it begins in the divisional round with 2 9.5-point favorites, Baltimore laying 9.5 to Houston, and then the Niners laying 9.5 to Green Bay. On that Saturday slate, Mark, do you have a strong side right now?
Yeah, let's look at the first game between Baltimore and Houston. I can't lay 9 with 9.5 with the Ravens. And I don't think the Texans are as good as what we saw last week. I think last week was more of an indictment on the Browns. But let's cut this up this way, Kevin. I'm not only going to back the Ravens in the first quarter, I'm going to back them in the first half as well. Do you realize that the Houston Texans, on the road this year, have scored 2 offensive touchdowns in the first quarter all year and a total of 17 points in the first quarter all season? And
wow,
they're going to go to Baltimore and score early against this team? I don't think so. Now, a lot can be made of the Texans. Oh, they only have given up 5.8 points in the first half on the road. Have you seen the level of opponents the Texans have played on the road this year? They played 4 bottom 5 defenses, and the Titans, the Jets, the Falcons, and who am I forgetting here? Oh, the Panthers, right? Like, these are the teams that they've played on the road. So, yeah, it stands to reason that their defensive numbers look good because they played 4 of the worst 5 scoring offenses in the NFL. The defense is not that good. Their pass defense is going to struggle. The Ravens should be able to take advantage. I'll lay the 6.5 in the first half. I'll lay the 3 in the first quarter.
And I know, I don't, where it's landed as much this season, but for a while in Lamar's career, Mark, untouchable against first half numbers, always able to get out to those big leads, and sometimes they weren't able to kind of wrap around. How much are you buying into, they're the second favorite, they're the number one seed in the conference, I shouldn't phrase it like that. Are you a believer in this Ravens team as far as a Super Bowl goes? Because I do think some people are trying to pick them off because years prior, they failed in this exact spot. Number one seed with a bye, AFC South team comes in and knocks them out.
Kevin, I say it all year long during the playoffs every year. Don't bet narratives. Just don't. Like, look at the numbers. Look at what's in front of you. Look at the teams and do your best handicap off of that. If I was going to bet the Texans based off the fact, Lamar's been bad in the playoffs. He's never played this Houston Texans team in the playoffs, so I don't know. Like, it'd be one thing if he had struggled against a similar opponent over and over again. Like, when the Ravens and Patriots met for like 3 or 4 years, or the Ravens and Steelers met for 3 or 4 years in the playoffs, and you see common coaches, common quarterbacks, common, defensive ends and safeties, things of that nature. I think there's a correlation you can make. But Lamar Jackson has never played the Texans or anybody on the Texans in the playoffs. So why would I bring this narrative into it? I have to look at the Ravens team as is. I have to look at a C.J. Stroud who's one of the worst quarterbacks in the league under pressure, and a Ravens team that gets more sacks than anybody in the NFL, and look at it and say, yeah, I think the Ravens can cover this number, but I'm just not going to bet a number this big with a total this low. I mean, the only way you're eliminating the under from happening by saying, the Ravens have to cover 10 points, essentially. That means their defense can only give up 10 or 13 for this to stay under, right? Because they got to go 23 to 13. And even at, that's where it has to be to stay under this total. Because if the Ravens get to 27, guess what? We're pushing 40, and you're going to have a problem staying under. So I say all that to say, too big of a number for me to back the Ravens here with this low of a total.
Yeah, let me put this that to the test, though. Yeah, I'll stay in the AFC because Bills Chiefs, Mark. There's not a lot of analysis out there, I feel like, that doesn't involve narratives. Mahomes is this season, the whole thing is a narrative, right? Either you believe in him, or even though they won the Super Bowl without Tyreek Hill not being there is the reason they can't win a game. What are you feeling right now with the Kansas City and Buffalo matchup on Sunday?
I'm rooting hardcore for Buffalo. Emotionally, I'm invested in Buffalo. Why? Because I have a ticket on Buffalo after they went 6-6 to win the AFC at 9-1. So I need them to be in the championship game because they also have a ticket on the Ravens to win the Super Bowl at 9-1. So I'm hoping Buffalo and Baltimore get through so I can be in a very advantageous head situation. But that all said, look, I just think Buffalo's a better team. I've always thought Buffalo is the better team. Kansas City kicked 4 field goals last week against a very lackluster Dolphins defense. Did the weather have something to do with that? Maybe. But if they're settling for field goals against this Buffalo team, they're dead in the water. Really, this whole game for me, I'm not worried about – I don't buy into the narrative about Patrick Mahomes in his first road game. Like, I don't care. This team has won too many playoff games. They've been in too many big moments for me to actually go, well, they might choke on the road. They might clam up. Like, come on. It's Andy Reid. It's Patrick Mahomes. This is a very good team that you have to respect no matter where they play the game. That said, again, it's going to be a different environment for them if they're not used to playing in. If Josh Allen can avoid the back-breaking turnover later in the game, I think he can recover from one earlier in the game. I'm not worried about that. But if he can avoid that back-breaking turnover, because it's going to be close, I think that they're going to be fine. I would tell you this. I think Buffalo can get out to an early lead here. Maybe a Buffalo money line in the first half, and the Chiefs will claw their way back into it. Let's see how I would say this much about the Chiefs on the road. Let's see how they weather the storm of the first couple of drives in the weather, in the elements, in that environment with Buffalo fans going bonkers every time that they're on offense. Yeah. Like, that may be something that they have to figure out for a quarter and a half before they actually starts clicking for them. Buffalo in the first half. I mean, look, I took Buffalo money line, but I would endorse Buffalo in the first half on the money line as well.
One of the things, though, that worries me, and what you – I have, you know, Bills preseason stuff, so nowhere – like, I have 9-1 to win the Super Bowl, right? Nowhere near as juicy as the ticket you have. But is even in a positive Bills breakdown, which I don't disagree with, the acknowledgement that Josh Allen is almost assuredly going to throw an interception is so unfortunate. But he threw one last week, and he's not gone one game this year, Mark, without back-to-back picks. Like, it's minus 130, minus 120 for him to throw one this weekend. It would be surprising if he got out of here without not throwing one. Can they overcome it, like you said, is a big question. Mark, we appreciate it. Go ahead, quick.
No, Josh has played his best games against the Bills. He always plays against the Chiefs, rather.
Yeah.
He's always played his best games against the Chiefs. So there's that.
He has. And look, I'm rooting it on right with you there. Mark, we appreciate it, as always. Excellent stuff. Best of luck this weekend. Big games in the divisional round. Sports Grid's coverage will be with you throughout and the lead-up to all of those football games. Up next, though, Coach James Young, as we get set for tonight's NBA and college slates.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on Sports Grid, Coach James Young here with us on a Friday night. JY, lots to get to in the association. How you feeling?
Man, it's good to be on with you, brother. It's a happy Friday night to everyone. Shout out to the meteorologists. Hopefully we get better picks than what's going on with the weather out here. So 7 inches, I think we got about 2. Good to be on with you, brother.
All right, Joey, let's start here. We've got a huge game between the Nuggets and the Celtics. 7-point line in favor of Boston. Total about 233.5, we'll call it. Split the difference. How are you betting this game tonight?
I'm going to go on Kristaps Porzingis. And I got it at 16.5. It has risen to 18.5, so shop around accordingly. My 16.5 over points went over 7 in the last 11. My thing is this. If you look at a guy like Nikola Jokic, and if you look at what happened when Philadelphia played Boston, you know, we're not so familiar if you played Denver, you saw that they struggle against guys that can stretch the floor. Remember that? And I think Porzingis is the type of big that can give Jokic trouble if he guards. So if he's got a guard, who else is he going to guard? He ain't going to guard. You need him. Right? So when you look at this matchup, Jokic's going to guard Porzingis. Porzingis can go outside. And I think he shreds him. I absolutely shreds him. You're right about this Denver team. They have not played well on the road, particularly against top-flight competition. And I think, you know, while I'm not going to lay 7, I wouldn't be shocked if you jumped on it, because I think this is a 10-point win. But I'm going to go with the Zinger. Chris is putting that in there. I got to use him. Either way. Tonight. Zinger will go busy tonight again.
So I love the breakdown, Coach. I think Porzingis is one of those things when we get into these type of games, it really stands out. I want to just do the big picture on this game for a moment if we can. I'll make sure we get any plays that'll Jay will be back with us at about 7:20. So any plays that start, I probably will get there. But I want to give this game some time. Turn it back, all right? Just you could upload the BATR graphics to this one here. This is a finals preview, right? This is the favorite in the East, and it's the favorite in the West, and a line is 7. There's reason to believe that if we put Boston in Denver fully healthy, the game is picked. Boston might be laying, right? So I can't bet the Celtics to win the title at plus 290 because there's nothing that is going to really happen to get that number that much shorter, right? Like, what can happen from now until the playoffs start? Milwaukee or Denver or the Lakers make an earth-shattering trade, Clippers, whatever it might be. Boston number comes back, Philly, right? They have a lot of assets. A Celtic gets hurt. There's no Boston doesn't have a major trade coming to shift them down to plus 125, right? KD is not requesting out of Phoenix and landing on the Celtics. But this is an early signal, Coach, that it is going to be difficult to find value to bet on Boston when the playoffs begin. That's kind of my takeaway from this line.
Yeah, I think so. So I think if you the better way to look at it is this. Until something changes, meaning Porzingis gets hurt, so on and so forth, Boston should come out of here. So the question is it better to go plus 290 for a Boston championship or to look at try to predict the finals matchup, right? So if you went Boston-Denver, you're at 5.5-1. You know, you can milk it. I'm crazy. The reason I like the Clippers. Boston-Clippers, 11-1. So if you're looking at Boston to win the title, maybe the better way right now is to try and find the matchup that they're going to play in the finals. Just in case Boston does belly up, Kevin, you know that, so. Listen, they were up 2-1, game 4, and they just went absolutely some of the dumbest stuff I've seen in the last 5 minutes, and they had the Warriors dead right. It was done.
Okay.
And they turned around and lose 2 straight. So that's an interesting way that you may want to look at it. Look at the finals matchup.
Well, I like that. I like that idea, right? You can get a lot of, you know, that's when you start. People have been doing that with the Niners on the NFL side, right? They've been taking the Niners and they've just been pairing it with different AFC variants, and it makes sense. Here's the problem with Boston, though, is every time they've been eliminated for the last half decade, Celtics fans have been trying to make this not true, even though you can't argue fact. Boston has been the favorite. Against Golden State, they were favored. They won the first game in Golden State. Against Miami, every single time, they've been the favorite. They were the favorite against those LeBron teams that were beating them. I'm not even talking about the big three. I'm talking about the Tatum group when they had LeBron in Boston game 7 with Jeff Green at his back and LeBron played the full 48. They were favored then. So we've seen Boston get knocked off as a favorite. It is remarkable, though, Coach. I mean, 20-0 at home. Their updated win total is 62.5. I mean, they are going to have home court throughout the postseason. And this is why people say now or never when they talk about the Celtics. It is not that they need to blow up and rearrange the entire team again this offseason. If they don't make the finals, Mazzulla will be fired. But Mazzulla could make the finals and he'll come back. It's that everything is just jumping off the page as Boston is on their own tier. And the finals market reflects it, and the game lines reflect it, JY. And if it doesn't come true, you're going to be looking around like, I don't know. Maybe it's a little Dallas Cowboys. Dallas this year was 8-0 at home, and the only home team that lost in the wild card round. Like, you look at this Boston stuff, JY, and man, if it doesn't happen this year, I don't know.
Well, I agree with you. And I think, you know, what Kevin's point is you know, it's, you know, so many years in a big spot. When is Tatum going to give you that 4-for-16? Folks, we all know it's coming at some point. At what point does Father Time catch up to Al Horford? You know, at what point do we look at, a situation, you know, like, can Jaylen Brown go to his left, which he never goes to his left. So there are things that is going on with Boston that can give you reason to pause that can they get to the finish line. And you're right. Mazzulla will get the fall, but at some point you got to look at the two superstars that are there and say, maybe one of them's got to go. Now, we all know if it's one or the other, it's going to be Brown. Tatum is going to be a Celtic for life. Like, let's just line this up right now. He should be, right? So I just think it's interesting here with Boston. But I still think, and I think you make a good point, real quick. I think Philadelphia is a team you need to watch out for in the East, and we'll get to their game, obviously. Because I think a trade's coming. If they can get a 3-D guy, and I'm telling you, you just got traded, right? I think Bruce Brown on Philadelphia would be fantastic. Three-point guy. A little point forward, rugged defensively, tough guy, a younger, better offensive version of P.J. Tucker. I think he could be something that could work in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think Philly's 23-6 this year when Embiid plays, 8-1 on the road. But I'm a preseason Sixers guy, right? But the question on Philly is to, I don't know if it's the same as Boston. Joel Embiid right now looks like an all-time. You know what Embiid is doing? Anyone out there that is stupid enough to ask whether or not Shaq would exist in this era, he's letting all those people know that it's a dumb question, okay? Shaq would be fine. Joel Embiid is averaging 35, 10, and 6 right now? I mean, it's ridiculous. And the only hesitation is when we get to the playoffs, can that continue? And I'll tell you this, Coach, and I know you're going to break down Embiid in a moment. I did an Embiid breakdown myself today. I was curious about his numbers against Orlando because I was looking at the top 7 defenses in basketball, right? And because Boston's one of them and how Denver matches up. So Embiid this year against the top 7 defenses in the NBA, if you look, gave OKC 35, Houston 41, Cleveland 32, Minnesota 51. It's all perfect. The only issue is the two games against Boston, 27 and 20. So is Boston his kryptonite? But, and I know this is, I'm doing a lot here, but the thing is someone might take care of Boston for Embiid. And he'd give Milwaukee business in a series. He would get business in a series. He will give them business. No. Tell 34 to come get this work. Don't worry about Brooke. Don't worry about Bobby Portis. You tell 34 to come get this work. He was all upset that Budenholzer wouldn't let him guard the best player. Come on. Come here. A lot of head fakes. Give me the Embiid breakdown, though, against Orlando.
And listen, Joel Embiid over 32.5, 33.5 shot per round, over 11.5 in the last 15 games. The top two ways that JoJo scores, right? He's got the advantage over a team like Orlando. So when you look at JoJo, I'm going to tell you this, folks. Kevin, this has JoJo got, like, I see 40 tonight. I really do. I see a 40 piece out of JoJo Embiid, because if you think about it, where is the match good defensively? And on the perimeter. You think, what's his face? And Wendell Carter Jr. is stopping him? Like, no. This is why his eyes keep shrinking for everything. JoJo goes off, and because JoJo goes off, the Sixers win against a Magic team that's lost 4 of his last 5, and they are starting to slide back. Philly goes on the road, a huge win, and JoJo goes nuclear.
So you're trusting Philly to cover the number then on the road here against the Magic?
Yeah, I am. I think Philadelphia's playing really well. I think Orlando's come back to the back. Their last win that they had, Orlando, was that win at New York, in which, you know, Julius Randle went back to the Julius Randle and me and Friedel to see it happen a lot and everything. That's the sole reason why we want him out of New York. And no Jalen Brunson, and they won by 4. So you're going to get JoJo Embiid, who now is looking at this 30-10 streak and looking at whoever it is, Wilt, or whoever has the most consecutive. And no. He's a historian. He's looking at 30-10 every night. So I think he goes off tonight. Philly covers the spread.
I'm only doing this because it costs me. The 30-10 streak is over. The 30-point streak is still alive. But the 30-10 streak is over. because there was a nice little plus 250 boost on him and Jokic to have 25 and 8, and Embiid had 7 rebounds.
Yeah.
So I didn't have to look that up.
Let's order the guy.
He might, but it is a.
How is he getting 8 rebounds? I don't even understand how it's possible. It's just
you didn't even do it on purpose, but that really upset me. All right, give me the Heat breakdown. No, I need a minute. What do you think about the Heat tonight? I need a minute.
The Hawks have lost 4 of the last 5. They're a hot mess. DeJounte Murray's on the block. Where's he going? To the Lakers? Is he going to the Knicks? It's all the rest of DeJounte Murray. They're bottom 5 in defensive rating. Everybody's playing for Miami. And if you look at it, the Heat have won both games this year by 8 by 9 and only leading 6.5. Like, that seems odd to me. I think this team in Atlanta's going absolutely nowhere. Give me the Heat. They win by 10 plus.
I might have to keep JY. Look at this. I don't know how he tricked me. I'm gonna have to keep him. There's college that we have to get to. That tips at 7. This guy just got himself booked for a third segment. That's unbelievable. I might give it out myself. Hey. I don't know. Look at him. This is unexist. That name you keep referencing. A lot of trouble all of a sudden. We'll be right back here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game time decisions. Kevin Walsh is where I like to give you a best bet. And then, this guy, JY, he's in charge. No, I'm kidding. I want to keep Coach here because he's got 2 picks in the MAC. And any respect for the MAC, I have to appreciate. And no, not MACtion with 4 teams from Michigan. No, the real MAC with 2 A's. Talk to me, JY. What do you want in the MAC tonight?
Mac Daddy will make you jump for you guys to know about Chris Carlson. That's all right. First of all, I'm going to go with Quinnipiac minus the points versus Siena. Quinnipiac team, if you look at Ken Baum's adjusted ratings, one team is 208 and Quinnipiac, Siena 349. The key is the fact of Quinnipiac's D is pretty good. Siena leaks in regards to their defense. Give me Quinnipiac minus the 6. And then I'm going to go under here. St. Peter's Fairfield. This is more about a St. Peter's team that is extremely great on the defensive end, right? Their defensive efficiency, I think, is top 20 or 30 in the nation. Then you look at their offense, and they're bottom, like, 60 in the nation. And then they play one of the slowest paces in the nation. So they're going to slow the game down. And I especially like doing this, Kevin, when you have a team on the road, they do what they do, especially on the road. They slow the game down. I know it looks like a low total. It is, and that's because of St. Peter's. Game goes under 135.5.
Shout out JY, double Mac. First of all, on Ken Pom, best team in the Mac right now. Go Gales, baby. Uh-oh. Still top-ranked team.
Patino's still there?
This guy. All right, get him off. Oh, this guy, Zach LaVine, just got injured again. All right, good. JY will be back at 7:25. My favorite bet in the NBA tonight is to get him off. This is not the JY show. Hornets, laying 2. Alt it now. Now I'm losing my mind. Laying 2 in the first half. The Spurs are 1-4 against the spread in the first half without Victor Wembanyama. No Wemby tonight. LaMelo Ball. Last time we saw him at home, he was winning basketball games, baby. He does it tonight in the first half at least, up by a dozen. We'll be back in less than a minute. I will be back.